You're listening to New England Public Media News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPM's Week in Review. Joining us today on the line, Elizabeth Roman, reporter and editor with the Springfield Republican and El Pueblo Latino, and Larry Parnas, investigations editor with the Berkshire Eagle. Liz, Larry, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Hi, Adam.
This week, the Roderick Ireland Courthouse in Springfield was temporarily closed so a mold problem could be addressed and other environmental concerns looked into. Before the announcement by state officials, Hamden District Attorney Anthony Galluni announced he was pulling more than 40 staffers from the building because mold had spread throughout the facility.
On books, on flags, on walls, there's visible significant mold. There continues to be mold in what appears to be the vents of the many offices within the courthouse, that it's gotten worse.
The facility houses Hamden Superior Court and Springfield District Court. Workers at the courthouse and local officials have long complained about conditions there. Liz, your thoughts on this situation?
I mean, this is an ongoing issue. I think for the past 20 years, at least since I've been at the paper, they've been talking about this. You've had two judges who've both passed away from ALS and worked in the same office in that building. And I think it's egregious that it's taken this long and that you have to have visible signs of mold in order to get the staffers out of there.
Galluni this week also renewed a call to replace the courthouse, saying if the building were located in eastern Massachusetts, it would have been replaced, quote, a long time ago. Larry, do you agree with Galluni's assessment?
Well, I certainly wouldn't differ with the prosecutor on that. And that opens kind of a whole chapter of east-west disgruntlement over where the public dollars are invested. This is a problem that has been so long in the making. And the notion that the trial court can just summon up the mold abatement firm to get in there and fix it. If I were those people, I'd think, like, where do we start here? This is a sick building that has this long history, and it's not the kind of thing you can come around with a bunch of handy wipes and mop this stuff up. It's endemic structural problem.
Also this week, Massachusetts education officials approved a mask mandate for most students and staff in public schools. The order lasts until October 1st. After that, schools that have an 80% vaccination rate could ease the rule for most students. Board of Elementary and Secondary Education member Payman Ruhaniford of Brookline cast the lone no vote.
Tying this masking proposal to vaccination rates is just, frankly, really bad public policy.
Larry, what do you think of that take?
Increasingly, I am just befuddled by a lot of the hand-wringing and what-ifs and what-about-that debate involving the coronavirus and vaccines and masking and social distancing. Educators have to do what's best for the safety of staff and children in schools. And so this is, of course, it makes sense. There are questions that need to be answered. But this is significant in that it takes this out of the hands of local districts. And there's a good example to me, my way of thinking, of the state showing the better path here and not allowing occasional local contrarians to do something that might not be safe for students. And that happened just this week in the Berkshire. Someone raised questions about this. State should be leading on this.
And it did take a while for the Baker administration to come around on this. The original guidance only recommended masks. Liz, was the mandate the right call?
I think so. I mean, Springfield, Holyoke, I believe Amherst had already decided they were going to go full mask anyway. Kids are really resilient. They have been wearing masks for quite a long time now. When they went back to school in the spring or the beginning of summer, they were wearing masks. Even the little ones, I've interviewed families, they feel more comfortable with their kids having the masks on. I think, like Larry said, making it a state mandate versus allowing individual school systems to decide is the right call.
Of course, classes are getting started, and both of you have written recently about some new school buildings in our area. Liz, let's start with you. In Springfield, the new Brightwood Lincoln Elementary School was recently dedicated. The $82 million facility is actually two schools under one roof, but the two schools will share spaces like a gym and a cafeteria. What are you hearing from community members about the new building?
Oh, people are absolutely thrilled. I mean, Brightwood is a building from the late 1800s, and Lincoln was, I think, 1912 or something. They're really old buildings, antiquated. There was no air conditioning. It was unbearable for the kids in the summertime to be in school. It's also in the city's North End, which has a high Latino population. There's been a lot of issues there over the years, but the community is coming up. Better schools, safer environments, people buying houses, moving back into the neighborhood. So I think it's great. Plus, we also have DeBerry and Homer, which are going to follow the same path as well. And I've got to give kudos to our city and everyone that worked on the project and got it done in time and on budget.
And Larry, in the middle of Berkshire County, a new Wacona Regional High School in Dalton was scheduled to open for classes next week, but that's been pushed back about a month. What happened?
Well, because of the pandemic and supply chain issues, there were certain things that weren't ready that had to be ready to get a temporary occupancy permit. I think one of the items was signs to direct students to handicap exits. So kind of small stuff, but, you know, technically essential to get an occupancy. You know, in Liz's coverage of the Brightwood Lincoln Elementary School, I was really moved about the scale of this investment here in better outcomes for young people and better learning environments. I mean, and air conditioning. I mean, kids are back in school in our areas, and it's been brutally hot. So what an incredible moment to have the community, and this is true out in Dalton at Wacona, through the course of the pandemic, to have these school projects come in essentially on time and on budget for Springfield, and, you know, close in Dalton for the Central Berkshire Regional School District. It's pretty amazing that for the Wacona case, it was entirely built during the pandemic. They signed some important contracts ahead of time, which prevented some run-up in cost. But man, what a job on the parts of these building crews. It'll be decades of better education in these spaces.
And finally, health officials in West Springfield are considering a mask mandate ahead of the Big E, which usually draws better than 1 million visitors a year. Masks would be required in indoor spaces and larger concert venues. Larry, in about 20 or so seconds, is a mask mandate needed in this case?
Well, I've been struck by how readily people who I see out in public in Western Mass are readopting use of masks without mandates. I mean, there's mandates in places like Northampton, and will increasingly, I think, they'll roll out in other places. But I just see people making good choices about this. And does it really ruin your experience of the Big E to put a mask on?
Liz, what do you think?
Absolutely. Yes, you have to wear masks. I mean, I'm the Big E queen. Love the Big E, but there's no way that I'm going there and being around people that are coming from multiple states. I don't know who's vaccinated and who's not. I actually think it should be a mandate at the fair to have to wear one.
Elizabeth Roman with the Springfield Republican and El Pueblo Latino, and Larry Parnas with the Berkshire Eagle. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Great to talk to you both.
And thank you for listening to the Shortlist NEPM's Week in Review. You can catch us at any time wherever you get your podcasts or at nepm.org/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Media.